Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 66 of Millennial Gaming Speak. I am your host, Logan Moore, and with me today, as always, is Max Roberts. Hey Max, what's up?
How's it going, buddy?
I'm hanging in there for the moment.
You're hanging in there, just like the Cubs.
Just like the Cubs.
Are hanging in there. Because the Cubs are hanging on by a thread. They have to win two games in a row. Can they do it?
The answer is yes. They can. Oh. But will they? I don't know. This Cubs team, it's frustrating because I know they're the best.
Are they but they've in been Wrigley like, tonight? Or are
no,
they
no, they're not. Thank God. I'm actually really glad they're not in Wrigley because they stunk in Wrigley for one, and two, because now they're playing in an AL park, they get an extra batter back. So I won't take the time to explain to you what that is or how that works.
Please don't. So they get an advantage because they're playing somewhere
else.
Both
teams do. When you play in a National League park, you have to use your pitcher as a batter. When you play in an American League park, you can forego using your pitcher as a batter, and you can use another just regular batter off of your bench.
Yeah, all right.
I could give you the whole rundown and take forever.
No, we're good. Baseball's weird.
But yeah, so they can definitely win. They've got the pitching matchups. It's just a matter of which Cubs team is going to come out because they've been really weird this postseason. It's been kind of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like one game they'll look like they're unstoppable and no one can beat them. And then the next game they can't put a bat on the ball to save their lives. And I know they've ran into good pitching, which is, I mean, you're playing the best teams with the best pitchers, but they have not been able to touch the ball. So we'll see. It's nerve-wracking. I wrote them off Saturday night, though. I had them written off.
You were ready to give up.
I pretty much mentally given up. Like, Sunday was like going to the funeral for me. Sunday was like the death had already happened.
The viewing?
It was just now time to bury them. So yeah. Then they won Sunday. What's going to suck is if they win tonight and then lose tomorrow. That's gonna take a toll on me big time. But
Logan will be bald. And
see, I would have just preferred if they're gonna lose this series, I would have just preferred it to happen Sunday.
Already,
if they lose
tonight,
if they lose tomorrow, especially, that's gonna hurt. That's gonna really hurt. If they win tonight, if they lose tonight, I can maybe still. I'll be a little bit more okay with it. But if they go all out and win tonight. And then lose tomorrow and get all my hope built back up and then tear it down at the last second, then that's really going to
close
suck.
But no cigar kind of scenario.
Yep, exactly. How have you been? Because I know episode 65, you were not here. I recorded that at home
was not.
With a friend.
You replaced
person.
Me.
I replaced you, which you may do next week, just to let everybody know.
Yeah, might. Who knows? I've been well. This semester is rounding out for me. As part of the journalism program at UCF, I have to submit a portfolio the semester ahead of graduation, and that's actually due Thursday, and I submitted it today, actually.
Did you include that Super Hypercube review?
I did.
Did you actually?
But none of that counts.
It doesn't? Why not?
No, the portfolio rules at UCF are very, very dumb and very narrow-sighted, and I'm upset about it. And I would love to talk to whoever's in charge about it, but if it changes, it's not changing while I'm a student there. So long story short, that's finally been submitted, but I'm gonna have to do it again next semester anyway, which is disappointing. And now I've got three projects due Sunday that I haven't been working on because I've been doing the portfolio and the Batman guide and then working lots of hours.
Batman, we'll talk about it in a second. I still haven't played it, but
So I've kind of just been scatterbrained all over the place, and I'm finally
how I feel.
Finally really things lost. Have been ticked off the list, so I'm getting closer and closer to narrowing down and focusing.
Yeah.
But next weekend, I've got like a little mini vacation coming up.
Me too.
Which will be nice. You do?
I'm going
weekend?
To California.
You're in the
for
beginning
three
of the week. Yeah. You're in the beginning of the week. I'm at the end of the week.
Yeah. So that should be nice. Hopefully for both of us, because yeah, I know I'm losing my mind too right now. It's just.
Yep. You and me both are in the same. We're in the same boat, man. Yeah.
I've got two video projects coming up that I need to have done within the next month and a half.
A video project due Sunday. How much work have I done? Zero.
Yeah, same here. So I've got both of those, and then I've got to create a website on top of the website I want to create in my free time, which is partially why that's fallen by the wayside. I know nobody has any idea what we're talking about with that. But So yeah, there's that, and then just schoolwork, and then trying to keep up with like game reviews and things like that, because this is the busy time of year, and we've let our game reviews that we're trying to stay on top of, we let those build up. And
I'll tell you this, with all the stuff I just told you about, and then trying to review a game that every time you play makes you sick.
Does it really make you sick every time? Battlezone?
All three times I've played, I've gotten sick.
That sucks.
I feel like I understand Battlezone. Like I understand the mechanics and the structure of it.
Then you can write the literally review. You don't have to
I've
like
literally
see it
played maybe I haven't even finished like a campaign run. Like a full, it's not called campaign, but like it's a set.
Yeah.
Like a board, and then you advance on the hexagon to get to like the final level. But every time I play, I get nauseous.
And I'm sure as you like think in your head about what you want to write, you don't want to write, "The game made me sick, 2 out of 10 or something like that, because you know
that's a problem with my time with the game. Yeah. And that will be noted in there, but that doesn't make Battlezone like fundamentally a horrible
game.
It doesn't make everybody sick.
Yeah.
It's got cool ideas. It's good looking.
Like you need to, as the person who kind of helps you with the reviews on this, I definitely don't feel like you need to play the entire thing. I mean, obviously that's always a good thing, but I've done a handful of reviews where I've played the game like halfway or 3/4 of the way. And I'm like, okay, I know all the mechanics to this point. The only thing I haven't done is beat the final boss or something like that. I'm just going to write the review because
I'm not sure there's a final boss. I might. There are three different campaign lengths, so short, medium, and long. And like my first time in, I was like, I'll just choose long, because that was the default. It was the default one, and I was like, okay, I'll try that. And I'm like three levels in, and it's huge, and it's not daunting in the sense of this is large and I can't do it. It's daunting in the fact that every time I click on one of those hexagons, I know I'm going to feel sick.
How much VR are you doing right now? I was going to ask you about this because we've had it for 2 or 3 weeks now.
Today actually was the first time I've played it about a week, and that's not because I haven't wanted to play it. I've actually really wanted to play Super Hypercube, I just haven't had the time.
I
haven't played it. It's the time. I haven't been playing games really lately. Kind of chipping away at Thousand Year Door, but nothing substantial. But today, I think it was Saturday, I think, and today I played Rez. And that was the last thing I played in VR. I'm playing it when I want to, which is good.
We'll talk about what we've been playing and all that stuff. So, Rez, let's get into this. What did you think? Because I don't know if I've talked about it either yet.
I want you to talk first. You know what Rez was. Uh-huh. You've played Rez before, back on the PS2, correct?
360.
Or the 360.
Yeah. 360. They re-released it there.
So you've played Rez before, and now you're seeing it in its final form. It's almost like a Dragon Ball Z character.
Yeah.
Where, like, it was back on the Dreamcast, correct?
It was a Dreamcast game? It started as a Dreamcast game. Then it went to PS2.
And then it went to PS2, 360, and now it's here.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So this is, like, Frieza's final form. So I'm curious on your thoughts on the game, and then I can share mine as a... I've never played Rez before. I didn't even know what Rez was until PSVR was announced.
Yeah. If you did listen to episode 5, I feel like I mentioned it in passing on that show, maybe at the top
episode
of it.
Episode 5?
65, not 5. Not 5.
Oh,
65. Our previous
you did talk about
you
Rez
on.
A little bit, I believe.
I think
yeah.
I touched on it a little bit. In short, it's probably on my short list for Game of the Year so far. I just really think seeing that game in virtual reality was nuts. It was so much bigger than I expected to. Like, I expected your frame of view to be pretty narrowed, and you would look all around, and the game would open up more the more you looked around. It's huge. Like, the sense of scope and scale and size of everything, and it really just blew me away. I love aiming with your head. It's awesome. I really like that. I really like being able to look all around, like when the bosses are around you or things like that, or there's enemies behind you, you can literally look directly behind you and still shoot them and lock onto them. It's much easier to play the game because for instance, I played through this, I played through levels 1 through 5 in one sitting. I played through the whole game in one sitting. And I never died once.
Oh,
on previously when I played it on 360, I died pretty often because it was hard to aim with the sticks. And aiming with your headset or your face or whatever you want to call it is so natural and easy and just intuitive that I really felt like it was like the best possible way to play the game, which is obviously why they brought it to VR. I really think it is just the perfect version of this game, though. Plus, putting the surround sound headphones on, and just you are when you're playing it, you are really locked in, and it is. It's one of the VR experiences. It's up there with Batman. Like when I was playing it, I was like, I was audibly just laughing out loud because it was so insane to me what I was seeing, and so just I was just so bewildered with everything that was going on around me, and I really think. I mean, it's weird that a game that came out in like 99 or 2000, something around there, really didn't see its final form, like you said, until 16, 17 years later with virtual reality. It's nuts that it felt like a completely new game while also being familiar to me at the same time because I had played it before. I don't know. It's awesome. I'm curious what you think though. So,
well, tell me. Do you want to share anything about Area X? Because everyone's talking about Area X like it's a godsend.
Awesome. It's really cool. The controls were hard to get used to, I thought. It was really cool seeing... Obviously, all levels 1 through 5 also look really good because they've ported them to PS4 and modern graphics, HD, all that stuff. But Area X was built from the ground up for PS4. So it obviously looks better. The particle physics look a little bit better, I think, as well. It's really cool. I want to go back and play Area X because I know there's like a hidden boss and then there's a normal standard boss. There's like two or three different endings to Area X that you can uncover. So I want to go back to it and try them out. But for the most part, the one thing that stood out was just the freedom in the spaces to move around was cool. I liked the moving and aiming, the aiming with your head and moving with the stick or one of the triggers or whatever. I don't know. It's really incredibly well done and shows you how movement and gameplay can work together in tandem, because that's the one thing right now that everybody's trying to figure out with VR is how do you move in certain games without having a controller or something like that. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. you have a controller here with Rez, but
and I think that helps that Rez is a third person game.
Yes, for sure, I agree.
If that was in first person, that would make people nauseous. If you were the character in Area X flying around in first person, I think everyone would be sick.
Yes, for sure. I like the sense of speed that the game has too, though. Now, similar with Thumper, which I've been wanting to go back and play. That's one of the games I've been wanting to go play recently.
Thumper's fun.
Everything is moving so quickly past you. You just feel like you are soaring through this game. It is really. I know when you first tried the demo, you said it was intense and just really kind of in your face. Thumper is similar. It's just that sense of speed that you feel because it is right in front of you and you do feel like you are in that area and everything is going past you, so you feel like you are moving when you're just sitting on your couch. So quit making me wait though. I want to know what you think because I haven't really asked you in depth because I figured we would talk about it on the show though. So yeah. Let me know.
You've been waiting to hear my thoughts on Rez. My last paycheck came through. Well, like when it came through, I only needed like 15 more bucks. So I was like, all right, Logan, I'll finally buy Rez, this must own VR experience, as not only you, but most of the gaming community been saying.
I mean, our website gave it a 10, which I at first was like, we give it a 10. And then I played it. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I might give that a 10 too. Okay. Like, it was really good.
It's a cool game. Specifically areas 1 through 5. This game is very abstract. It's the kind of game, a few years ago, I went on a trip to Washington, D.C. and went to, couldn't tell you which art museum it was, but there was an art museum that had a video game exhibit. It was one of those traveling exhibits, and it was about video games as art and how they've evolved and stuff. And in there was like Flower and Flow and different kind of artsy games, not just from that game company, but those were the two that I remember
also
distinctly.
Teasing their new game today.
They're teasing Twitter. Their new game. So there we go. We'll probably talk about it next week.
Maybe.
But anyway,
maybe a PSX.
I would put Rez, and Rez may have been in that exhibit. I couldn't tell you because I don't. Possibly. I obviously have never heard of the game. Rez is a game I would put in the very artsy category of gaming. Not only in its art style, but its music and its gameplay and the message that it's putting on you is very funky. It even more so than Super Hypercube. I think if this game, like if you were to say give PlayStation VR to someone on drugs, I would give them Rez over Super Hypercube.
Yeah, for sure. That was one of the first.
Rez is very trippy, in a very in your face way. Through my whole time with the game, I thought, like you were talking about, its scope and like scale and stuff. I thought it was too close to my face. I wanted to back up, and I couldn't. Is very in your face, not only with the loud music, but with the character and the size of everything. Like its scale is impressive.
Though,
it's
honestly
how it makes me feel, like the size of things is impressive. And it made me want to back up, and I just couldn't because it's stuck there on my face. I like it as an on-rail shooter. Reminds me a lot of Star Fox in that way. And the aiming with your head is amazing. It is so fluid and natural. It's just
it really is. Like, that's the perfect. It's just, it feels right.
It's so
cool. It's one of
the
few gameplay mechanics that just, like, was so natural.
A natural translation.
Yeah, I tried it within 2 seconds. I was like, okay, I got this unlocked. Like, it's so easy.
It's so cool. The my one thing, I didn't dig into the options to see if I could change this. If on the controller, you can move the cursor with the left analog stick as well.
You can.
Not just your head. You can use the left analog stick in VR mode if you want. And I accidentally did that, and then I felt like everything was off. Because when you're aiming with your head, it's center.
Yeah.
But you can move it to, like, the left and stuff, and that threw me way off at first because I didn't know what happened. Mm-hmm. I thought it came unaligned. And then I figured it out and just moved it back to the center.
By the end of level 4 or 5, I had kind of gotten it off center as well. And I played through, like, level 5 with my head at, like, a weird angle the entire time. I didn't realize you could do that either. I must have just bumped it because I didn't touch the stick at all. The only thing I touched was the X button the whole time. That was it.
Okay.
So I must have just accidentally hit it or something like that because I was bent at a weird angle on the final level.
Right.
So.
I died, I think, 3 times in level 2.
I was curious about how much you'd die.
I died 3 times in level 2, and I died in Area X. Area 2 was frustrating to me. I was like, I just want to skip this, but it wouldn't let me. But I finally beat it.
You kind of need... It's kind of better to play it in one sitting because you get those power-ups carried over from level to level to level to level.
I just kept losing them in level 2, though.
Yep, that's the... There's a couple frustrating parts to it. But is level 2
level
the one
5,
with the thing, like, encompasses you and then it, like, sends the box your way?
The wall towards your face, and you have to break the wall to fly through. And I was having such a hard time with that. But, hold on. I think she's announcing dinner.
Is it time
for dinner?
People
I live with. It might be. It's the second dinner, as the hobbits would say.
No,
I'm not going to eat dinner here. Yes? No, I did not.
Okay, that must be needed.
Okay.
It's potatoes. What's for dinner?
No, it's the mail key. We have community mailboxes, and the mail key is misplaced.
You guys don't have owls down there?
No, we don't have owls down here. But terribly sorry for that
interruption. We just got them up in Indy. It's pretty nice.
Oh, yeah? Owls? Pretty cool. There's,
Quick aside, I've been really wanting to reread the Harry Potter series.
Me
no
too.
No idea why. Just
almost took a Harry Potter class at school, but it conflicted with a mandatory class.
I keep looking at them on my shelf. I'm like, I really want to read those again. Want to read them again. Don't know why, but they're sitting there.
It's been so long. Anyway, back to Rez. I was talking about level 2 and how hard it was.
What's your favorite level, out of curiosity?
5.
5 is phenomenal.
5
is insane.
5 is the most unique out of all of them because in between each transition, it takes you like to an actual representation of our world, and it's like telling you the story about how the Earth evolved and things like that. And this is where the beliefs and the artsy parts kind of come back in. It's talking about, I assume, what this man's beliefs are and like how the world works, and then in a digital interpretation of that evolution and how kind of like the Matrix, like how humans will eventually just be plugged into machines and AI, and this game is very weird and abstract in that way. But level 5 takes everything from level 1 and 4 and incorporates it
yep.
into one level, and I think that
one
was very
longer
smart.
Level too. It's like 2 or 3 yeah, times as long. Which
yeah,
is really
it's a
cool.
long, it's a doozy, as the kids are saying. But it's a good doozy, and the boss is very cool. And again, it's abstract. It's a hit or miss with people, and I think I was leaning toward more the miss as far as like narrative and aesthetic and things like that go. The music is funky.
I really like it. I've always really liked
this. This is not a soundtrack I would like be bumping to.
See, now I agree with that. It's not something I'm like, you know, I want to listen to level 3 music right now or something.
Right.
Like that. It's nothing like that. But when you are in the zone and you are playing the game, it is perfect. Yeah. It is absolutely perfect.
I find some things like just don't sync up. At least in the music games I play, in most music games are just like matching rhythm beats. They're, you know, tap this here yeah. or match this beat. This game isn't so much about this. If you guys have played Sound Shapes,
yeah.
Sound Shapes is about collecting little orbs and building the music of the level.
Yes.
And that Sound Shapes reminds me a little bit of Rez in that way. Rez, the further you get, the more intense the music is getting, the faster it's going.
Yeah, each level kind of starts off with like each enemy you kill, it builds on that. But there
yeah.
comes a point about two-thirds to halfway through every level where it just is like, screw that. The enemies you kill have no effect on the music now, and then it's
yeah,
just kind of doing its own thing.
Yeah, and I think that was a pacing thing for me, but overall, it's good. It definitely lends itself, and the way the controller like thumps with it, like they do everything to lend itself to absorb you in the music of that game and that world, and it's weird. It's like Rez Area 1 through 5 is a good game. I'm kind of curious how it is just on the TV.
Okay, so Area X. Oh, you haven't played Area X, have you?
I played about 15 minutes of it. I died.
Yeah. Oh, and you died. Okay, that's what it was. Did you like that so far?
No.
Because of the movement, I'm guessing?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't like moving.
Yeah.
Didn't like the visuals.
You didn't like the visuals?
Mm-mm.
That's interesting.
Area X is probably the most prevalent screen door effect I've seen on PSVR.
Really?
Because the particles are just... I'm sure on my TV it looks phenomenal. In full 1080p, 60 frames a second, it probably looks fantastic. But in the headset, we're going at 60 frames a second, but it's not at 1080.
Mm-hmm.
And that screen door effect on those particles, not making me feel... I was starting to feel sick.
Really?
And okay. Yeah, and that was the moving and stuff, and... I also had an empty stomach, and I only played for 15 minutes, and that was already after
You're
a longer
weak, boy.
Session.
You're weak. Eat a steak and go play Area X.
Rez and Battlezone are making me sick, which is very unfortunate. But
I'm curious to see. I kept forgetting
to hold down the R1 button to move forward.
Yes.
I would just shoot things and stop and be like, why am I not moving?
The thing I forgot was that there's a move backwards button. So I kept like having to do these big U-turns.
Didn't like that either. Yep.
Back around. Well,
you can go backwards.
There's a backwards
the
button.
Stop,
which I did not figure out until
if you hold the stop button, does that take you back?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't
See,
figure
I
that out until the boss. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
I
was
this.
Not feeling Area X.
It was, I like what they tried to do with it. They tried to
People are saying this is like the VR experience. People are saying, I've read tweets, and these are obviously hyperbolic, and from the people, they know it too. Like, you know, like ones like, can I live in Area X? I'll pay rent. Reviews praise Area X for just this level of immersion. You know,
I really
people
do
are
think,
saying that
I
it's like this existential experience, like it's just it's life altering.
I think it really is Area X, like the way it's built and how it functions is phenomenal. The thing that kept taking me out of it though was the controls. That was the problem, which I don't place.
That was a barrier I was having.
I don't think that's
over.
A problem with the game design necessarily as much as it is just like. We
I just wish it was an on-rail experience.
We aren't used to moving like that with VR necessarily yet. So mm-hmm. it was kind of like you've taken your first steps into a much larger world. Like you're trying to figure out how movement necessarily works. Yeah, you're kind of learning to crawl with as far as movement goes in VR, which, because we really haven't had to do it yet. Like, even something like Arkham VR or something like that, you're just popping from point to point. You just push
buttons to, like, hop to point, which is very smart. Very smart.
Yes, it is, actually.
So obviously, I'm going to try and finish. I'm going to try and finish Area X, but
the way Area X is formed, I really think it is fantastic.
People were saying it's this big open area, and it's not.
It's like five or six smaller ones
connected just like a regular level. Yep. And I didn't really. The reviews I read gave a sense of like exploration. You could like go over here and
there
you know
is,
you
though.
Could shoot
I know,
just these
I know
types
there
of
is
enemies
because I'm telling you there is like. There is a secret boss that you can discover, which I don't know how you get to. I need to figure it out or something like that. But there is a hidden boss you can access.
The game is good. It's more interesting to me than good.
So
you'd
give it like a 7 or 7.5, something like that, if you were to rate it on 1 to 10?
If I had to throw a number on it, it'd be 6.5 to 7.
Okay.
It's just...
See, but
I think it's too in your face. I think the mechanics of areas 1 through 5, like the gameplay part, especially in VR, is very well
the
done.
The people who I hear rave about it the most are people like myself who played it,
who've played
before,
it,
who have
and
already. Played
I think
it.
It's I think it is like this thing you remember as a child or in your teen years, being refined and polished and presented to you in a new, cool way. And I think that really lends itself to making Rez a better game for those fans.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to come at it from someone who has no idea what Rez, you know, was or is.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not bad.
I'm glad you liked it. I was afraid you're going to come in and crap on it or something.
Yeah, I have legitimate problems with it, especially just how in the face, in its,
in
my
face. I think that's a personal thing, really, because I didn't find that at all. Like, in fact, I liked how in your face it was. I really, really dug that. Like,
I was like,
liked
I just,
how
I wanted
up close
to back up, like,
in it you were.
I wanted to back up, like, 3 more feet. I was just like, just give me a little breathing room.
I don't know. I think that's
like
more of a personal thing.
It's just not a game. It's not a game. If someone came up and said, hey, I just got PSVR, what games do I need to buy right now? Rez would not be at the top of my list.
You know what game would not be at the top of my list?
Super Hypercube?
Well, maybe, actually. Because it's a steep price point.
Job Simulator?
Job Simulator I actually really liked, and I just published my review today. It's not a great review.
Well, I'm just trying to think of the games you've played for sure.
100-foot Robot Golf. Not a good game.
True.
I'm publishing the review for that tomorrow. Okay. Spoiler alert, I'm giving it a 4 out of 10. I did not like it.
Not a good golf game, huh?
No, definitely not a good golf game at all. The golfing mechanics are really trash, and it's not a good golf game whatsoever. And I get that it's a little bit more arcadey, and you're supposed to beat the crap out of your opponents or whatever. But
right.
It's just not good, and it tries to be too. It tries to be too funny, and the overall like tone of the game I like. It's quirky. It's goofy. It's self-aware. It knows that it's funny, but then it takes that and goes like over the top with it. Like, hey, I know we're a dumb game. Let's just take that
kind of like Sunset Overdrive, where it's self-aware.
No, because it's never like, hey, we're a video game. Like that was well written.
I thought Sunset Overdrive's tone worked very well for the game. It was
that was well written, and the tone worked well with how the game.
I love Sunset Overdrive. It's the Tony Hawk Pro Skater game we deserve.
Yeah, I agree with that. Robot Golf was more like, we know how stupid this is. Let's make sure we make it as stupid as possible. Which sometimes would work, but in this instance, it totally just fell flat with me.
Okay.
And again, though, my biggest sin with the game is that it just mechanically sucks. And
yeah, it's not
also, the campaign, this is not the... It's kind of the default mode, but... It's not even about how many strokes it takes you to get the ball in the hole. It's how fast you can get it in the hole. So in the campaign mode, it'll be you versus somebody else.
Your strokes don't count?
No. It's just as fast as you can get the ball in the hole. So I could hit the ball 50 times, and my opponent could hit it 3 times. But as long as I get it in the hole first somehow, that's all that matters.
No.
That's the default mode. There is stroke play.
No.
There is stroke play that you can play.
I don't like the sound of that at all.
That's the default mode on the campaign, which is really dumb.
No.
And it makes sense why they would do that, because you can totally just, like, your opponent can hit up a shot and you can just smack it out of the air. So it makes sense, I guess, why they do that, because if you just keep hitting each other's balls back and forth, like, it's not really going to matter. The hole just has to end when one of you gets it in. But it just doesn't work at all.
That's unfortunate.
I think I ended my review by saying I would rather watch the PGA Tour than play this game, and that says about all you need to know about it. So I'd rather watch golf on TV. So
golf on TV is hit or miss as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
In addition, one thing I thought I would mention, I don't know if you have any interest in this whatsoever, and I know we've got a whole bunch of news that we're going to get to, but there's a whole pre-section that I wanted to talk about.
I like all this discussion.
I do too. This is good.
Is the stuff I think, you know, as an aside, I think this is the kind of stuff people like to listen to. At least this is the stuff I enjoy listening to in other podcasts.
I agree with you, so that's why I'm not too worried about getting into the news or anything. Plus, I don't have a topic this week, so whatever. But I thought I would mention that Saturday and Sunday this week, I sat down and played myself some Gears of War 4, and I beat that. That's a great game.
I beat it.
It is awesome.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you turned around that quickly.
I got sucked into it.
Is it awesome because you've played?
I knew you were going to ask this.
I'm legitimately interested because I have an Xbox One. People love Gears of War. I have 1 through 4 or 1 through Judgment. Do I need to play 1 through Judgment or
Judgment,
1 through 3?
Heck no. Judgment,
okay,
no, for sure.
Because Judgment's hit or miss with people. I know people that love Judgment.
Judgment's,
I know,
like,
people that
Gears
hate
of War
it.
Arcade mode. It's just like, see how high of a score you can rack up.
Okay, do I need to play 1 through 3 to fully enjoy 4?
To fully, fully enjoy
or
it?
To or,
yes,
okay,
definitely.
Four is a great game?
Four is a fantastic game.
Is it fantastic because of 1 and 3, or is it...
No.
Okay.
Story payoffs, possibly. Mechanically, it's just as fantastic as all the other Gears games are. It's still the third-person shooter, I think. Cover-based third-person shooters.
It is still the cover-based
third-person shooter to beat. Like, nothing else really comes close to it, honestly.
The only game I would argue, and I've played maybe 20 minutes of Gears of War 1, but I believe the best game with third-person shooting mechanics is Max Payne 3.
Max Payne 3 is really good. I agree with that.
Max Payne 3 technically is a cover shooter, I guess. Although, thanks to Bullet Time...
You've got Bullet Time and things like that.
You're really not in cover. Yeah. But I do think Max Payne 3 has the best third-person shooting mechanics. But anyway...
I could get behind that.
Back to Gears of War 4, though. You beat it in 2 days.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I got totally sucked into it. Like, as soon as
Did you co-op?
No. I wanted to, but I was tired of waiting. Like, I have a few friends who have the game, and I really wanted to play it with them. And at the time, all of them were busy, and I was like, I just want to play a game this weekend. So I just sat down on Saturday, I started playing through it, and then Sunday, I powered through the rest of it. It's great. I really, really liked it. I enjoy the new characters. The new characters are fun. Marcus is cool. You've probably by this point heard the comparison to Episode 7. That's a great comparison. I don't know whoever said that. Maybe it was Ryan McCaffrey.
I think I've heard
first.
Marty Sleva.
Whoever said it first, it's pretty spot on, because it is totally the same, but also feels totally new at the same point. And there's certain like connections to the old games while
it's
also
ushering in a new era of Gears.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you were to say, and that is the best way I can think to explain it to you, if you were to say, do I need to see episodes 4, 5, and 6 to have the ultimate payoff with episode 7, I would say you could probably enjoy episode 7 by itself, but obviously
but,
I would suggest...
But hot dog, if you haven't seen 4, 5, episodes 1 through 3, you aren't going to enjoy episode 7.
Oh my gosh, no, shut up. Yeah, there's so many Newt Gunray references in episode 7 that you just won't pick up on if you haven't seen episodes 1 through 3.
Where all the Jar Jar Binks references.
Yeah, all the Jar Jar references, all those Boss Nass references. Yeah, you just won't be able to pick up on them. You will have no idea what's going on. So, yeah, I would say if you want to play 1 through 3, like if you like are generally, like if you're honestly wanting to play 1 through 3, they're great games, and I still think they hold up. If it's more of like a, oh, I'm going to have to power through these kinds of thing, don't do it. Just if you want to play 4, play 4, and I think you should be fine. There are a couple things. The ending's great. The ending's really good. It's kind of sudden and subtle, and you don't... If you now, this is one thing. If you the ending, you totally won't understand if you don't play 1 through 3. Totally, but like you'll if you beat
it, the payoff won't be as significant.
Kind of, but it'd take me 2 seconds to explain it to you, and you'd be like, "Oh, okay, that makes sense." Like it's a payoff in a way. I don't know. It'd be like,
okay,
I wouldn't need to tell you 25 minutes worth of exposition and backstory to make you understand what's going on. You know, I could literally explain it to you what the significance of a certain thing means in a 5 second conversation with you. Like it's not that hard for me to convey what happened. But it's cool. I really like the ending. I'm really excited for the next one. I haven't tried out Horde mode or anything yet or multiplayer, but the campaign is really good and I liked it. And I'm looking forward to going back on Insane mode.
The game look good?
Yeah, it looks great.
Does it run well?
Does it run well? The classic Max question. Yeah, it ran perfect for me.
Perfect. Because I've heard really good things about it. And it's actually, this and Forza Horizon 3 are the first cross-play, cross-buy Xbox games. And on PC, both of those games support 4K. And they both support HDR. Which you don't have an HDR TV, so I can't ask you about the HDR quality of it. But
yeah,
since these, obviously it's not 4K.
Well, I don't
on
have
Xbox.
An Xbox One S anyway, right? Don't you need that for HDR?
Yeah, you do need it for HDR. That's fair. Yeah. I'm still curious how the game ran. Obviously, it's not like 4K or anything on your Xbox, but I'm just, it is a third person shooter,
no issues,
so you needed
no
like flute, you know,
at least.
Yeah, and which so. Is awesome to hear in any game. Especially technical shooting kind of games.
Yeah, I thought it ran perfectly well.
Would you play it with me?
Yes, I would, for sure.
You would go back and play it again? Because I might...
I would...
That might be a weekend Redbox thing.
I would ask that we play it on the hardest difficulty, though.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, then we could get through it.
Because you've played it before, I haven't. We should be able to meet in the middle. I feel like I'm okay at third-person shooters.
You'd be fine.
Like, you and I could just, like...
And there's a bunch of like new guns in it too that aren't from old games, so you won't be like, how do I use this thing? Like, it's all most of the weapons are new. Like, there's the Nasher, which is the shotgun, and then there's the Lancers, which are just basic machine guns.
The
saw
blade
most part.
Thing.
Yeah, but other than that, most of the guns are new, so it's not like you won't really be out of the loop with anything too much.
Okay, we may plan a holiday weekend binge
for
together.
Sure. I would play it with
maybe
you,
Black Friday sure. sale. I might pick it up.
Yeah, maybe we can get 2 or 3, 4 people together and do it. Play through Insane Mode together because it'd be fun. It's not too long either. Like
it's like a 7-hour game. 7-hour story.
Something around there, I'd say. Is nice, good. Short, it ends kind of suddenly. I didn't think the ending was going to happen. Then bam, roll credits. I was like, whoa! Even though I had just fought like a huge boss that was like
obviously
the ending boss, but it was like. It had kind of built
so
to this
how long
moment,
until
the climax.
Gears 5?
I could see it by 2019.
So you think another 3 years?
Is that 3 years? I guess that is 3 years. I could see early 2019.
Okay.
Early 2019 would be nice. Late 2018.
Did Coalition... Last question I think I have. Coalition's not the original developer of the first four games, correct?
Nope. Epic Games was.
How did Coalition do? People Can Fly did
Judgment. Gears of War Judgment. People Can Fly did that. So Epic did 1 through 3.
Well, 1 through 3, how did Coalition do carrying over the legacy? Because we've seen this with another Microsoft franchise, which is Halo.
Yeah.
It was Bungie, and then it was 343. So in your opinion, how did they do carrying the spirit of Gears?
Felt no different. So I mean, I think
felt
that's
just
the
like
best.
A good old Gears game?
I think that's the best compliment I can give it. It didn't feel any different to me. Like, it wasn't apparent to me, like, oh, this is totally different. Still well-written, still likable characters that you like. Again, the shooting mechanics were all still top-notch. It was Gears. Like, it was more Gears, which is good, because I like those games. Those are really great games. I used to play so much Gears of War 2. Like, so much Gears of War 2. That was one of the big 360 games I got into. I'd like to get into Horde mode again. I really would. I used to be hugely into Horde mode. So I'd like to dive into that soon, but I don't know if I will. Got a few other games to review and things like that. But Gears 4, it's awesome. I really liked it. I was really surprised by it. Campaign alone, and obviously I'm gonna enjoy Horde mode and multiplayer and things like that. Like, it's pretty self-explanatory. I'd give just the campaign though, and just, like a solid 9, 9.5. Like, I really liked it. It was really, It was a good weekend game. Good game to just sit down and be like, I don't want to do anything this weekend, so I will play Gears of War 4. I really liked it.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. A lot of good things about that game coming out.
Moving on, I wanted to ask you about a few other things, because we've got, and I know you've got one of these things too that you want to talk about, but so we haven't had a show in a while, and there's been a couple other game releases that have come out.
Technically, you and I haven't had a show together. This is through the power of editing.
Yes, of course. So there's a few other games that have come out, and I've reached my annual Logan's point of I want this game right now, even though for months I know I've said I didn't. And I've reached that point with a few games. And
oh, no,
I'm
Logan.
I'm not buying them. I'm really not.
What are they?
I have to go to L.A. twice wait, over can the I guess? Next month. Can I guess? Go ahead.
How many are there, though?
We won't count Battlefield 1 because I've always openly said I wanted that game.
So okay.
Battlefield but 1 how, is one of them, but I really want that. I really how many, I've got friends who are playing
that. How many guesses do I get?
I mean, there's not a million games that have come out.
I know, but just give me like a 3. All right.
Three. Go ahead.
Watch Dogs 2.
I've kind of always wanted that, but that wasn't the one I'm thinking of.
Okay. All right. So I've already missed one. Watch Dogs 2. I don't think you're into Titanfall. I also don't Call of Duty. Do you want Modern Warfare?
Kind of, but that also wasn't the one I'm thinking of. But okay, I am really hopeful for this year's Call of Duty, and if it's good,
you'd go back.
Then
and pick
maybe
it up?
I'll red box it at the most because okay. I'm not buying the freaking game.
I just
not now.
Play
at least.
Modern Warfare. That's what I want. Okay. So last guess, games that are coming that you really
or
want
or have come out,
or have come out. Oh. I mean, you've always wanted Mafia 3. I don't know if you've ever gone back, so I wouldn't say that one.
I still would like to play that. I really would.
Did something come out? Dishonored 2's coming out in a week and a half?
2 weeks? Something like
that. Dishonored 2? I almost got the guide for that.
I mean, I kind of wanted that one for a while, too. That wasn't the other one I was thinking of.
All right, lay it on me, because I clearly don't know.
You whiffed. You said it. Titanfall 2.
Really?
I got the first one. I really liked it.
I didn't feel like you were into it.
I played it for a good 2 months when it came out. Like, I really got into Titanfall, kind of like what I did with Overwatch this year. Like, I'd love to go back and play more Overwatch, but it's just kind of like more things come out and you just kind of lose its way. Like, that's the best comparison I think I can have between the original Titanfall and Overwatch is I got really into it for like a month or two there and I really enjoyed it for that time, but then I just kind of lost track. No, Titanfall 2 wasn't on my radar, and I think it wasn't on a lot of people's radars because of where they had the freaking game come out, which I still don't understand why they would
That's
put it out
dumb.
To die right then. But I guess the campaign's awesome. Like
people are saying the campaign is awesome. I've also heard people say this campaign's the same as every other Call of Duty. So
I've heard
I don't
people
know who to
say
believe.
It's the best campaign of this generation, like by a mile. Which shocked
those,
me. Like
clearly, those people haven't played Uncharted 4.
First person shooter. Campaign.
All right, I can give it.
Because obviously, no one's saying.
No one's dominating that market. I've heard the Battlefield 1 campaign's really good.
I have too. That's also why I was interested in it because I was interested in both games, but I was like, I don't know if I want to get 2 multiplayer games. And then when I heard the campaign for both of them was absolutely phenomenal, I was like, oh shoot, I kind of want these a little bit more.
Throw them on your Christmas list because you want them for campaign.
Well, my brother wants Battlefield 1. And Target has that buy two, get one free deal going this weekend. I was going to see if I'd be like, hey, you buy Battlefield, I'll buy
Titanfall,
and then I'll get a free game on top of that. Yeah, but I don't think I'm going to. I can't even afford to drop 60 right now. I really can't. I'm trying to tighten up the purse.
Then don't do it.
Throw
them on your Christmas list.
Yeah, I know. I will. I'll get them down the road. But Titanfall, yeah, been super interested in.
Hmm.
The other one you whiffed on, which I know is going to.
I whiffed again?
Yeah, I told you there was two. There was two games
that
there was technically three. I said Battlefield 1 didn't really count though because I had openly said for months.
But
since I
said
it
out loud and just didn't guess it.
You didn't say this one out loud.
Okay, that's what I meant by whiff.
No.
What else?
Skyrim. kind of want to go back to Skyrim.
God, who needs that? You own it. You've put
kind of want to go back to Skyrim. I know I have it, and I'm trying to keep myself from buying $60.
Don't,
but
please. But again, that's a no, that's a for sure Christmas list game.
I would really like. I totally. What totally
volumetric
was,
god lighting,
it was not on my radar. It was on my radar because I like knew it was coming out, but I totally had no interest in playing it whatsoever. And then I started seeing everybody like on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, posting their screenshots of it and saying, oh, look what I just did. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds so fun right now for some reason. That just that loop of leveling up and things again. And I know Fallout came out last year and I kind of went through the motions with that. Skyrim's different though, it really is. It's kind of, I know it's similar to Fallout in a lot of ways.
It's the,
I mean,
fantasy
obviously
setting.
They're both Bethesda, but it is so drastically different. I played Oblivion like 3 times, I think. Each like 60 to 80 hour playthroughs each time. Jeez. So I've never gone back to Skyrim though, ever. I had my one playthrough and that was it. So 5 years later, I am getting an itch to play Skyrim. I've got a million other games though, so that's the one. That is the one out of all of them that I don't want to buy. And I'm getting mad at myself for even thinking about buying it, but it really sounds fun right now and I'd like to get it. But if I do get it, I'm going to force myself to at least finish all the other remasters I've got first. So both Batman games and Bioshock Infinite, which I still haven't gone back to. So I want to make myself clear those out before I get another old game coming back into the fold.
All right. That's fair. I can give you that
one. I know I bashed Skyrim when it came out, and I still... I'm mad at myself for wanting it, but...
Speaking of remasters, guess what's coming to PS4?
Kingdom Hearts. Chain of Memories, and...
Oh my god, every Kingdom Hearts
game
will be
every
on
game
PS4.
Ever, which means, now I can ask you this, should I dump my PS3 versions?
Like, sell them?
Like, trade them in or whatever.
They're probably not worth much. You're not a collector like... Yeah, you're not a collector like I am. And if you plan on buying the PS4 version, go for it.
I will. Because I wanted to replay those for a while.
Like, so... I will never do that because I have my shelf, which is getting more and more crowded every announcement they make. But yeah, Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5 are coming to PS4. These are PS2 games and DS.
Is it one disc? Are we sure?
They haven't announced that. We assume it's one disc.
I don't think it is. Just because I've seen the trend lately. I've seen the trend lately.
Isn't Bioshock Collection 2 disc?
And so
Infinite's 1 and 1 and 2 is.
Batman.
I think it could, in theory, fit on one disc, simply because they're PS2 games and DS remasters.
Yeah.
They're not, like, on a technical scale, I can't imagine them being very large.
I mean, I imagine
games to not
you
fit
could
on one
on...
50 gigabyte disc.
Yeah, I imagine you could put them on one disc, but I just don't think they will. Probably, if I had to take a guess.
It's all this is going to be is 1080p 60 frames a second. That's literally all this is. We're not getting these visuals. Aren't gonna. It's a PS2 game. I'm not expecting to be blown away visually by it. What I am enticed by this is the entire Kingdom Hearts series on one system,
now on
which
PS4,
is absurd.
Which is really nice. It's really nice, really.
And
like,
really convenient.
I'm not the Kingdom Hearts fan you are, but I think even more for me, because I've wanted to replay them lately, this is a huge convenience factor for me.
I'm
personally.
So ready. I'm
because
gonna
I
chip.
Have wanted to go back to them. I've really been wanting to go back to them for like 18 months, but
you have to play them on PS3.
I mean, I've still got my PS3 hooked up, but I just don't want to play it.
Do
like,
it?
It's
yeah,
simple
I know.
As that. So,
and for $50, which I think is $10 more than it should be, but $50 gets you both those remastered versions. Playable games are Kingdom Hearts 1, Kingdom Hearts 2, Kingdom Hearts Re-Chain of Memories, and Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep. All right, let me restart over because these titles
you don't need
are obnoxious.
It's 1, 2, Rechain
Kingdom
of Memories,
Kingdom Hearts
Birth by 1, Sleep.
Final Cut, Kingdom Hearts 2, Final Cut,
oh
Kingdom Hearts Rechain of Memories, Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, Final Cut, and Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance. So there's
Dream
5
Drop Distance isn't on that.
No, you're right because that's on 2.8. Never mind. 4 playable games, 2 movie
cutscene things, yeah,
movie game things. So 6 games. And then on Kingdom Hearts 2.8, you have
Dream Drop Distance 2.8.
You have Dream
Prologue.
Drop Distance. back cover and Birth by Sleep 2.2 final prologue thing. So technically there are 9 Kingdom Hearts games on PS4.
It's really dumb. This whole series is really dumb.
It's so dumb. I saw a picture of the timeline and like just how convoluted the releases are. It's hilarious. I love this game for this series, how obnoxious it is. But Kingdom Hearts is all going to be all on PS4. I'm very excited to have them all in one place and to play them.
It's really nice.
Yeah, and to play them in that space, like have them just conveniently be there. Because Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming one day in 50 years and I'll be ready for it by then.
Yeah, so exactly. That's the thing. That's the one thing I do like is that we know 3 is coming, but it's not coming anytime soon. So I won't feel like I need to, I got to play through all these. And I'm also not going to play through all of them either. I want to play through
I'll
play 1 and 2. And then
I was
going to
say,
see you playing
1 and 2.
And Dream Drop Distance, I'm sorry. Dream Drop Distance.
Because you never played Dream Drop.
Because I never played it. So I'll play those 3 and then
I would see you playing
2, whatever.
The Birth by Sleep 0.2 as well. Because that's new.
No, or yeah, that's what I meant. The prologue to 3, whatever that is.
Yeah,
I'm not going to replay
Ground Zeroes.
I'm not going to replay Birth by Sleep, though. I know that. That's your favorite. That's not my favorite.
Yeah.
And then I may look at Chain of Memories, though, honestly, because I never played the 3D version thingy. I only ever played
on
the Game Boy Advance. Yeah.
Oh, I love the PS2 one is great because it takes that Kingdom Hearts 1 engine and applies it. It's funny. It takes the Kingdom Hearts 1 engine, but it has the Kingdom Hearts 2 voice actor for Sora.
My neighbor had it, so I saw him play it before.
It's good. It's a really good way to play that game. It really lets the card battle system shine. I like it a lot.
So that's coming out. That's kind of getting into our new story.
What else is related to Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, I was going to go to that next.
See how I set up all these segues?
So this kind of leads back into also what I wanted to talk about so I mentioned to you that we're nearing the point of the year where all the games I've bashed for months saying that I don't want, I now end up wanting Skyrim, Titanfall, Battlefield, not as much, but even Call of Duty. First, a quick aside, there's more games coming out than I thought for the rest of the year that I actually want to play. Like, I thought from this point out, I thought it was empty. I think that
you were like,
Yeah, I think it's just not as cluttered anymore, is the thing. They're kind of spread out over the next 6-7 weeks now, instead of all dropping within like 2 weeks of one another. But really, so I've got a short list over here of like games I would like to play through the rest of the year. Titanfall 2, Skyrim, whatever. Battlefield 1, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, Dishonored 2, Watch Dogs 2, The Last Guardian, Dead Rising 4, and then I am becoming a little bit more interested in Final Fantasy 15 as we go forward, which I know is what you wanted to talk about right here. I'm not necessarily going to buy all these games, but I am interested in them.
You're suddenly interested in them.
Your
interest has picked up.
It's picked up the closer we get to it. Like, I've always been interested in Watch Dogs 2 and Dishonored and Last Guardian, obviously, and Dead Rising. And the ones that have really picked up are Titanfall, Call of Duty, Skyrim, and Final Fantasy. All the rest I was kind of already thinking I would get at some point down the line. And I probably won't buy all these games, or maybe I will because I'm an idiot. I won't buy Call of Duty. I freaking will not buy that game.
It'll get tens across the board. Best campaign
I really think it
ever
could be
in a first-person shooter.
I like how open it looks. And I don't know if it's going to be like of it, but it looks cool. And so I also haven't played a Call of Duty since Modern Warfare 3. So maybe time to just try one out for the heck of it and see how it does. I don't know.
Never bought a Call of Duty.
Though. Yeah. But Final Fantasy 15, obviously, there's been a few previews that have come out the past few weeks. Some people have the game that they're, I think, review. Does Jason Schreier actually, is that his review copy right now?
No, no one has the review copy. All the previews were sent from a preview build that consists of the first 5 chapters of the game. In previews, the people that have been playing them are roughly around 15 hours of gameplay. So these are not final. This is not a final build.
It's not a final cut.
It's not a final cut either.
Bring it back to Kingdom Hearts.
I know. It's great. Love Square. Great job, Square Enix. But this Square is sucks. This is Square as close sucks. To a final build as obviously anyone's gotten to play. Because the game's out in 3 weeks.
Is it? Are we sure? It has gone gold, supposedly, reportedly. That's what they're saying.
Technically, yes. Technically, we don't know. But it will be out in 3 weeks from this Friday. No. I'm sorry. It's 4 weeks from the day we're recording.
It's almost exactly a month, yeah.
It's four so. Weeks from today, of day of recording, November 1st. A lot of people have been previewing it. Polygon reviewed it, or previewed it. IGN did. USGamer.net did. All very positive, very glowing. And I've admitted this on Twitter, but the interest and hype bug seed has been planted, and it is starting to sprout in my heart and in my wallet.
Have you watched any of the Twitch streams or anything? Because
I've scrubbed through the first hour of gameplay. Polygon put up a video the first hour.
Is it okay? Okay, I wonder how different that is from what I saw. Because the build I actually said that I watched for like 10 or 15 minutes looked like it was about probably a couple hours into the game. They went to a dungeon, and I thought it was pretty.
I didn't see a dungeon.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I've seen, yeah. So,
I don't.
That seed has been planted. It's starting to grow. I've said on Twitter, though, I'm not going to have another No Man's Sky on my hands. I'm going to wait for a final review since Amazon gives, you know, that 20% discount. Since they give you 20% for 2 weeks.
Or Christmas is right around the corner if you can.
Yeah, like I'm not worried about having this game on day one. I'm going to wait for final reviews.
I don't know if I ever told you this. I told you I bought Final Fantasy 13, right? I bought that when that came out.
No.
I bought 13 when it came out.
Which part? One?
Yeah, never put it in my PS3. Oh my gosh. I bought it.
Yeah, I will not.
It was one of those games that I was like totally going to play this one day, and it just never happened. Never materialized.
I will never succumb. I'm going to do my very best never to succumb to that kind of hype again, like with No Man's Sky. But anyway, I'm starting to get very excited for this game, and I've read a lot of previews. And actually, if I had to recommend any set of previews to anyone, it would have to be Jeremy Parrish's on USGamer.net. He did four pieces, kind of different parts of the Final Fantasy 15 experience, and I think those were the most convincing to me. I would recommend those to anyone who's curious at all about this game. But anyway, I wanted to kind of gauge your thoughts on the game and then kind of share mine as well. But I'm curious how you feel about Final Fantasy 15 as we're getting close to its final launch after a decade of development. So how do you feel there, buddy?
Interest is growing slightly. And I know Square has said this for a while, and this is why I'm a little bit interested to dive in, is that the whole, because this is like the first real Final Fantasy game in since 13, honestly. I know they had parts 1 and 2 or whatever, but those don't count. Since this is like the real first Final Fantasy iteration in a while, I know they've tried to make it a little bit more open to new players, because I have never played any of them, and I know you have never played any of them.
The closest I've gotten is Kingdom Hearts.
And I you know and that people like Schreier, who I saw tweeting about it, was like freaking out about some of the small nuances that they placed in there that fans of the genre or fans of the series may be aware of. I'm not going to pick up on any of that stuff. So I hope that the game is accessible enough for people like myself as it is for new players. And I think it will be. I am cautiously interested in it, though. Like, for the longest time, I've never really, and maybe I'm wrong, and you can go scrub back through old episodes and tell me where I said this, but I've never really thought it was going to be bad by any means. I thought it was kind of trapped in development hell, but I think Colin Moriarty has kind of said this too. He thinks it'll be no less than good, but he doesn't know if it'll be like phenomenal, kind of like the old
worth 10 years
were.
Of wait and hype.
Yeah. I think the game will be good. I'm expecting maybe 7s to 8s, something in there. Judging by the previews, it sounds like it could be even better than that if the game pans out for the entirety after it, because these are long games. I remember reading a Final Fantasy 13 review. I still remember it to this day in Game Informer, and it said, yeah, the game really opens up after about the first 30 hours. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I bought that for some reason. Don't know why I bought that. But I'm wondering how it'll play out through the entirety of the game, because obviously these builds through the first 10-15 hours or so, obviously we're getting some glowing reviews coming back from those, and they sound good, and from what I've seen, I think it looks solid as well. At the same time, it didn't demo well at E3, and I'm hoping that was just like
this game has had very troubled demos in the past from Episode Dusk.
I've been on like both sides of it.
It didn't demo well technically. The game demo didn't run well. People were not very receptive.
What was the
new Platinum demo?
Platinum demo. That one didn't go over too well.
And then the demo on Xbox's stage at E3 was also not received well. Like, this game is not demoed very well.
Didn't get great reviews. The movie that came out.
I've heard middle grounds on that. It's certainly on the lesser side of things. Like, this game has had very troubling previews up until this point. And that's probably part of why, like, the hype seed is being cultivated inside my heart. But
and that's why I'm cautiously optimistic, though.
I also think a part of it...
I know these are long games. The first 15 hours could be the best thing you played all year, and then the last 60
could
be such a drag. So,
I think the game is looking more and more appealing to me. This idea... It's this weird mash of kind of games I want to play right now kind of coming together in one new game. I'm really in the mood for a Japanese game right now. This comes around every so often. Definitely kicked around when I was playing Persona 4. Kicked around when I went back to Danganronpa 1. And now I'm getting that urge. Do you own it?
Danganronpa? Yeah.
I would play it on your Vita then, because if you didn't own it, I would say wait for the PS4 port next year.
Those aren't games I'd play on PS4 anyway, so I would definitely play it on Vita.
I do want to get them on PS4 because I'm excited for 3. But anyway, so I'm having the urge to play a Japanese game again. And then I'm having an itch for an RPG, I've been chipping away at Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door again. I'm in Chapter 3, The Glitz Pit, which is the best chapter
in the whole game.
I might have to agree with you now. Before this playthrough, I think I would say Chapter 6, which is the train, where you're the detective.
That's really good, too. Those are the two best. Those are the two best.
Oh, for sure. But the Glitz Pit, not only is it this total side wrestling champion story of an underdog rising up, but it's also like corporate espionage and spying
on
evil doings within a corrupt company. Which...
I'll go on the record and say that's like one of the best 3-4-5 hour stretches in the history of video games. That section of that game is so phenomenal.
Like, I'm playing,
it's creepy.
It has great music and level design and interesting areas to explore.
I love that you feel like you're moving up the whole time and you're slowly advancing through the ranks.
Yoshi's a great partner.
Yes, it's really smart with how you fight the enemies. It's not just like random encounters. Like, you're fighting them in the wrestling ring, so it's a way for them to work in the combat scenarios, but it also makes perfect sense with why you're fighting in those situations.
It is so good. But I've been chipping away at that, but, you know, I wouldn't mind a new RPG experience. Landon just lent me Paper Mario Color Splash, which I'm excited to try because I've heard good reviews about it. It's not the Paper Mario game we want, but I've heard it's very funny and has some good mechanics and
it's not the Paper Mario
and
game
a terrible
we
battle
deserve.
System. It is not the game we deserve, but I'm excited to try it.
I agree with you. I am quietly itching for an RPG as well, last time I kind of had this itch, Bloodborne.
Here's the kicker. I also have an urge for an open world game, which could either be going back and playing the Blood and Wine DLC for Witcher 3,
this little game called Skyrim. I think you've heard of it before.
Or it could be Red Dead Redemption. But if we take all of those, a Japanese RPG open world game, you get Final Fantasy 15. And then there's the curiosity of a 10-year development cycle. Tetsuya Nomura, the director and creator of Kingdom Hearts, was the original director for Kingdom Hearts 15, and I believe his fingerprints are still in this game. I think they're in the foundation of it, which is very exciting to me. I think it'll be fun to play a Final Fantasy 15 game now. I'm like, there's just a lot. And then these previews are just so they sound like what I want. And again, especially the Jeremy Parrish review previews over at usgamer.net, they really capture what sounds like a game I want to play. Again, this is a preview build. These are the first 15 hours. We do not know how this game pans out in the end and how it will be received and how the people I care about, the people's opinions I care about, view this game. There will be IGN's review, whoever is reviewing that. I'm not sure yet, actually, who's reviewing it. Kotaku. Who do I think will review it?
I'm trying to think who's, like, the Japanese RPG person over there.
I think Marty Sleva will review it. Huh. Marty Sleva is their open world guy. He just did Mafia 3. He also plays Final Fantasy, and I think he will do
Vince
it.
Isn't a Final Fantasy fellow.
Don't think so. I think, but could Vince. Be. What about Vince? Has done the big games.
What about Miranda or
Sanchez?
Yeah, does she do those?
She could. She potentially. She's very.
There's another
Miranda
person.
Sanchez. Miranda Sanchez does guides.
Oh, does she do guides now?
Yeah.
Who's the other? Who's the other? She's newer. She's Asian.
Callie Pleggy?
No, not Callie Pleggy. Callie's cute. what's the? I think her name's Chloe, possibly.
Yeah, she did The Witness.
Yes, 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 yes. I think
I feel
like she might be interested in it. I'm not sure. I don't know who the JRPG guy is over there.
I would put money on Marty.
Marty's playing through Mass Effect though, so he's got enough on his plate.
But that's
right
not
now.
For work. I care about Kotaku, which will either be Jason Schreier or Kirk Hamilton. I believe it'll be Jason
Schreier.
It'll
be Jason,
but,
no doubt.
But Jason doesn't really do. Jason's on sabbatical.
Jason's for sure doing
Jace,
it.
Jason's on sabbatical.
Feel like he's for sure doing it.
Though. No, he's on sabbatical. I don't think he will.
He's coming back though soon. He's been gone for a while.
I think he's on a pretty long one. I'll look it up later. But I don't think Jason's doing it. I think it'll either be Kirk or Stephen Totillo.
He's got that scoop money.
Kirk?
I feel like it. No.
No, Patrick Klepek does the scoops.
No, Jason's got the bigger scoops.
Oh, Jason does have scoops, but. Anyway, I care about Kotaku's review, and then, those are the two I always pine for. Those are the two I always wait for. Anyway, I'm going to wait for reviews on this game, but I am very interested in it now. Also, that most recent trailer, the Omen trailer, hot dog, is that a good trailer? Like, that spoke
hot dogs,
to me.
Hamburgers.
Did you see that?
No.
The Omen trailer?
The only trailer I've been watching is about another RPG that we may talk about in a second. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
I don't know, but I sent you the trailer. I'll send it again because it is a really
good
trailer.
Did you send
it to me? I did the other day.
Then maybe
also,
I watched it, actually. I don't know. I don't
just
know what, I don't
let
know
you know.
I do.
It's 7:30.
I know it's 7:30.
You got baseball in 30 minutes.
We do have baseball in 30 minutes. So.
How do you. You want to save my topic for later?
We can just keep going, I think.
All right.
We'll keep moving. It doesn't really.
Make sure
first pitch
isn't
really until.
Game.
Shoot, they do bat first. Let's just go.
I was gonna
we can get through this. So,
all right,
and I won't try to push it to the point. If we get to the topic and the topic's not really working out, then we will push it. But we'll see how this goes. We've got 30
minutes.
Ebb
with the flow,
baby.
That's
a good amount of time. But yeah, Final Fantasy 15. I think we're both. You're getting more excited for it than I am because you want all those things.
I'm trying to keep that in check.
I definitely do want an RPG though right now, and I've looked longingly at Dark Souls 3 a few times. I just bought Dark Souls 2 the other day, but it's not for me. I bought it for my brother because my brother really likes Dark Souls, and it was his birthday. So I kind of have Dark Souls 2 now, which I may play down the road as well. But I bought that for
which
him.
System did you buy it for?
PS4. So I bought the Scholar, the First Sin Edition.
Gotcha.
Which was the port that they came out with. I'm cautiously optimistic to it. That one for sure won't be a game that I will buy. Games that I may cave on, The Last Guardian for sure. I don't know if I'm really caving on that one because I've already got that budget in my head that I'm going to be getting that.
Last Guardian, if it...
Dead Rising's
if the reviews
a, Dead Rising's
are stellar,
a
that's
Christmas
a game I would buy
Dead,
out of the curiosity.
Dead Rising is going to be my Christmas game. Dishonored probably will be as well. I'm really excited for Dishonored, but I don't like fervently need it right this second, especially since I've already got like BioShock Infinite.
It literally comes out and it comes out a week from Friday. So
week and a half. Yeah. So
yeah, week and a half.
Getting into our news, our notable news, we've kind of bounced back and forth. You've mentioned a few things here. Where do you want to start? Because we've obviously got a handful of things. Okay. Let's just jump into this then, because I mentioned it.
I was,
Okay. We'll just bounce around. Just trust me. Take my hand here. We'll be okay. I mentioned another trailer for another RPG game, which came out today, and that was Mass Effect Andromeda. We got a little teaser trailer for it today. Looks really good. It was just a small snippet.
Let's be clear. It was a CG trailer to hype you up for the content reveal on November 7th and 7th day.
Which is a week from
Monday.
Yes,
it's
from
Monday.
Yesterday. From yesterday.
It was a hype video, 100%. It was a very, like I said to you on Twitter,
it is
a very, very good tonal piece.
It definitely revealed story details, though, for sure. And I think we already knew what the details of the game were just because of the title kind of gives it away. But it's obvious what's happening at this point. So
please fill me in.
You're going to the Andromeda Galaxy to freaking repopulate or something. At least that
seems to be
what is happening.
I haven't played Mass Effect 3, but if I understand the hatred on the internet,
I kind of forget what happens at the end, honestly.
Doesn't he die?
Yes.
Doesn't everything
go... You're not Shepard. They've already confirmed that you're a brother and sister.
No. I know we're not Shepard. Yeah, no, I'm not. Doesn't he die, though, and everything just go horribly wrong? Like, you don't save the galaxy?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
Because
like
in this
and,
hype...
It's like humans
in the hype
and robots
video today,
become one or something.
In this
like,
hype
it's
video...
Really weird.
Earth, they are on the moon looking at Earth.
Yeah.
So
I have two theories.
So
here, and I'll tell
you
my two theories.
I need you to fill me in. Was Earth destroyed
at
the end of Mass Effect?
So here's the thing. The Reapers, which come...
The big, scary things.
They try to destroy all life in
the
galaxy. They try to destroy all life in
the
galaxy.
About them.
But they're not. They don't have Death Star beams. They are slowly picking off one thing at a time with
their
lasers.
So it's like Terminator, where the computer's like...
years. Like, that is why the beginning of Mass Effect 3, I've said, is so just tonally just odd, because it feels like the start of Mass Effect 3 is the climax of the game, and then it's like, now go build a ragtag team of a bunch of your old squad mates and go beat them. And it's like, well, isn't everything getting destroyed? It's like, don't worry, it takes like hundreds of years for it to finally come to completion or whatever. Not hundreds of years, that's an exaggeration. It takes a long time for them to wipe everything out, because like I just said, they don't have Death Star beams, so it's not like they shoot a planet and it just explodes. They have to literally go down to the planet's surface and slowly just wipe everything out.
Okay. All right.
So Earth could still very much, if that is after Mass Effect 3, that Earth could be very much fine, and that wouldn't have any effect.
I would think it'd have to be after Mass Effect 3.
I don't know. I'm starting to think that this game could start before the effects of the entire trilogy. They shoot these people off to go explore a completely different galaxy, and kind of like a alien or a Planet of the Apes or something, they're in hypersleep, and then they wake up in the next galaxy. Everything has now happened back in the Milky Way galaxy.
Because time travel.
But now these people are the ones who are alive. Obviously, we'll probably get more details on this very soon, you would have to think.
Okay.
That's one theory I have. I really don't know, though. I mean, again, Earth being there is not really indicative of anything. They do mention in the trailer that it's 600 years after. But I don't think they are mentioning... They're definitely not mentioning...
Shepard?
They're definitely not talking about Shepard in that. They are talking
about... Which is fine. I'm cool.
They're talking about the moon landing. 600 years after the original moon landing is what they're referring to.
With Lance? No, Neil?
Neil Armstrong?
I get the two mixed up.
Lance Armstrong? No.
Well, I get the two mixed up because they have the same last name.
With Neil Armstrong, they're talking about the moon landing. So
right.
They
start with the footprint.
Is 600 years after, which would be like
the footprint right
25 there. Something. And I think the Mass Effect games take place in like the 2300s, if I'm correct. So if it really is 600 years after, then this game is like way after Shepard and all that other stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. There's a lot of questions, but it's definitely obvious what's happening at this point is...
It's a very...
We need to leave our home, which is the Milky Way galaxy, and we need to go find new places to live.
So if you want to see how this whole story will play out, you can go watch Christopher Nolan's Interstellar.
It's kind of similar. A little bit.
The same concept, like go somewhere else to find a home for Earth.
Except there's a bajillion other planets in the galaxy that are inhabitable. Or not a bajillion, I guess.
I'm very interested to see what they reveal. I'm hoping for kind of a general plot synopsis, but like, this is what you're doing. Like, obviously what you've said makes perfect sense, especially with the title of the game and what they've talked about to this point. Like, but I would like you were doing this because of this. Like, just a very broad stroke. Very
I think it'd be cool if it was like a Star Trek type thing, like to boldly go where no man has gone, gone before. It's like it could be just as simple.
I'd be all about it.
It'd be as simple as like it's a research mission. We have,
and
have the capabilities to send you to another galaxy. We're going to do that. See you later. Let us know what you find out, and then the game
off
from there. And I'd be totally fine with that.
I want to see gameplay, and more than space jumping.
I mean, it's going to be similar to the gameplay from the old games. I mean, it will.
I know, but I want to see it in action. I want to see
gen, but
I want to see what's new and cool. I want to see what they do. I want to see if it's going to be more RPG-like. I want to see if it's going to be more action-like.
That is what I want. If they can keep the action elements from Mass Effect 3, but combine them with the RPG elements of Mass Effect 1, they have a perfect video game on their hands. Because they really, by Mass Effect 3, they really got away from the RPG.
It's like Dead Space. Dead Space lost its way. By Mass Effect 3, it was a buddy shooter. It wasn't a cover-based shooter. It wasn't
a buddy shooter. You couldn't play co-op or anything like that. But
in Dead Space 3.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Mass Effect 3. I'm sorry.
No. And
yeah,
wasn't
that
Mass
was
Effect
weird.
3 co-op?
No, there was a multiplayer element to it, but it was not co-op.
Okay. I just you know what I remember about Mass Effect 3? Besides the PS3 demo I played?
The ending and everybody screaming about it, even though it wasn't
and besides
that bad
that,
up until the last 5 minutes.
The Kinect demo on Microsoft's
E3
stage where you were shouting out squadron commands.
The
like,
Kinect.
Go here and do this. The Kinect.
Kinect. So, yeah, that was a thing.
So I'm excited, like, out of curiosity, just kind of like Red Dead. I'm excited to see what they make.
Dude, it's
going to
be so good. It's I know. It's going to be so good.
I know.
It's got to be so good.
It's gonna
I'm
be
looking
cool.
forward to it so much. That and Zelda, man, those are the two big ones right now that I'm just frothing at the mouth. And the fact that they may come out in the same month, oh my goodness. That's
I'll be playing
be,
Zelda while
that's
you play
gonna
Mass Effect.
That's going to be insane. I would play, I might play Mass Effect first, honestly.
I was going to say,
and I can summarize why I love Mass Effect and like, to put it in terms you would understand, I tweeted about it earlier. The reason I love it so much is because it is the most well put together sci-fi universe ever, besides Star Wars. Obviously, Star Wars is top dog, but right below that is Mass Effect. Mass Effect is
Star Trek.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I like Star Trek a lot.
I like Star Trek a lot too. See, so that's me adding credence to. That's how much I love Mass Effect. It is so well to put together structurally.
Like, I believe
universe
it. I believe there's
so
a dense universe there from my time with Mass Effect 1 and digging through those codex entries and like listening to the dialogue and like the history of this. Like,
I read the books.
That's one thing I love
too.
About Mass Effect 1 is that was a lived-in galaxy. Those were people and species that have lived and they have a history and they're characters and attributes, and it was very well fleshed
and
out.
And you're kind of the new one to it all because, like, they didn't really discover, humans didn't discover the rest of what was going on until, like, 2200 or something like that when they discovered mass relays.
Yes.
So,
So I'm excited to see what they reveal. It'll be curious to see if they stick with March.
They gotta have a release date. I wrote this in the article earlier. They've gotta come out with the release date and they've gotta come out with gameplay. Those are the two things that everybody wants at this point. And even if it's only like,
I want it too.
Even if it's only a small amount of gameplay, well, not even a small, I think it'll be like 15, 20 minutes, honestly, worth of gameplay. There'll be a new trailer, probably gameplay, and then a release date. And then I think that should hold everybody over until release. I mean, I'm
you
sure
know what
we'll
I think it'll be?
Start seeing commercials and things like that. But
I think you will see, like, a release date. You will see the kind of information you expect from an announcement like this, like gameplay and little story stuff and character thing. You know, it's kind of broad strokes. And I think the press has played it, and I think there are previews coming out. Kind of like Uncharted 4 did with the Madagascar demo. I think there's going to be one demo, and Mass Effect will put that up on their YouTube page, and it'll be like a 10-15 minute demo. But the press has also played it, and you're going to get press impressions.
That would be cool. That would be really cool.
I think
cool.
that's what's happening. Because if this game is coming out in March, that's the perfect kind of thing, and then they can go dark until March.
So in the same way that I said that I think like Final Fantasy 15 will be no less than good, I think Mass Effect Andromeda will be no less than phenomenal. Like, oh, I am expecting...
Goodness gracious.
Expectations are through the roof for this game. And God, I know we haven't seen anything yet, but I trust BioWare.
You have
so
your Mass Effect. Kevin has his Red Dead Redemption 2.
I and think I have it's going to be so good, 3. Dude. I think this is going to be like the defining game of this generation so far. And, and before you say Uncharted 4 or anything stupid like that, I will even specify RPG.
Defining game of the generation
RPG.
Is different than best game of all time.
Okay, defining RPG of this generation, if that makes you feel better and keeps you from bringing up Uncharted 4.
Well, no, I'm just... If that's the case, it has to beat Witcher 3. Because right now, Witcher 3 is the standard, is like the bar. I shouldn't say the standard, because the standard is lower.
No, they raised the bar.
Witcher,
for sure.
Yeah, Witcher 3 is the bar for open world RPGs, and Mass Effect is the next one up to bat.
I really
and
think
we have to see if they
the park.
And we have to see if they can do that. After Mass Effect, in theory, the next big one would be I guess it would come down to Cyberpunk.
It'd be Final Fantasy 15, and then it would be Mass Effect, and then
that's fair because Final Fantasy is open world. I would say after that would be Cyberpunk 2077, and
maybe that's
well. I'm just saying, like,
there's probably
we don't know.
We're forgetting,
and then Oblivion or Skyrim, whatever, Elder Scrolls 6. Like those are the two.
Yeah, Cyberpunk.
But those are the two that we know will come one day.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at my shelf and see if there's anything, and I really can't. Think of anything.
Horizon Zero Dawn is an open world RPG.
Kind of, yeah. I totally expect, though, like, and I'm hoping they do it. Like, I really think they will. I trust BioWare more than I trust Bethesda. Like, I was expecting that massive jump in both quality and, like, seeing, like, oh my gosh, this is what it means to be on current gen. Somebody has finally tapped into it and they know what they're
and
doing.
Fallout 4 didn't do that.
Fallout 4 didn't do that.
Witcher 3
Witcher 3 did. I really think BioWare is going to as well. Also because Dragon Age Inquisition was awesome. That was like one of the best games within the first year.
I almost did the guide for that one. That was almost my very first guide for IGN.
I was totally into that game. I put like 120 hours into that
game. I'm really glad it wasn't.
So,
because that would have been insanely daunting as the first task. But
it's
kinda,
really good. I like it.
You were talking about open world games for this generation.
Yeah, let me go ahead and throw this in. We're not going to do the topic this week. No.
Oh, I knew that. I knew that. So, anyway, you mentioned open world games, and I had this thought earlier when we were talking about Final Fantasy 15, and I forgot to mention it, so kind of bring it back. Final Fantasy 15, correct me if I'm wrong, both you and the internet, is the first open world Final Fantasy game, correct?
Pretty sure 13 opens up after a while.
But you know what I mean by open
world.
Yeah,
like
from the
beginning of the game, yes, I think okay. So. Outside now, of, unless you're counting the MMOs, which I haven't played, but I assume they're open
14
world.
And 12, I think?
11.
11? Okay, yes. 12 was a different thing.
12 was the PS2 one. Yeah.
I'm curious if an open world type game is kind of something that fits Final Fantasy better than we would think, just like an open world fit Phantom Pain, Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
Because no one thought Metal Gear Solid would be as good as it was as an open world game. But that really, Metal Gear Solid 5, from a gameplay perspective, is the definitive Metal Gear experience. It's just perfect. And I'm kind of curious if Final Fantasy is going to get the same sort of treatment in that regard and reception.
Hopefully. Well, I mean, I guess we'll have to find out
my goodness.
In a few short weeks.
You know what just popped in my head?
What's that?
PSX, like a month away or so.
Yes.
There's an undoubtedly good chance you see Uncharted 4 DLC there.
Mm-hmm. That's already been rumored. I don't know if you saw those murmurings, but
probably not. But like that, just
Troy Baker. Troy Baker said you will see it sooner rather than later, so it's coming. That's
which
where
means
we'll see, we're gonna see it.
Which means we'll just see what it is, mm-hmm. like in a month. That's exciting.
I like how that's what you're freaking out about.
That's exciting because
it's like a footnote on the next 18 months of games for me. It's like, oh yeah, we'll get that.
Doesn't matter.
DLC
it's gonna be so good.
Point.
I'm so excited. See, what they'll do is they'll come out, they'll have a trailer or like a teaser of like what the demo is or the DLC is.
I was gonna say demo.
And then at the very end of PSX, that's when you get the teaser trailer for Last of Us 2.
No. I really hope not. I really hope not. I think it'd be so cool if they just went quiet for like 2 years.
I actually think if we were to see the Last of Us 2 teaser this year, we don't see it at PSX. We see it at the Game Awards.
Yeah.
That's where you reveal Last of Us 2. I mean, obviously, PSX, they're the bread and butter of The Last of Us, but you reveal the next Naughty Dog game on a grander scale.
I just think it's next Game Awards, personally.
You very well could be right. I just don't think they
want to be stepping on their own feet, because you know they'll have to eventually probably do press for the DLC whenever that comes out. Not as much as they would for the game itself.
They're two separate teams there.
It doesn't matter. Druckmann's going to be heading both of them up, assumedly.
Yep.
So
he was writing a tough scene a couple weeks ago, which I'm sure was for the DLC.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But
anyway.
Ooh, Last of Us 2 is going to be
fresh. We got 15 minutes till Cubs win game 6.
Until you hope.
Speaking of fantastic first-party games for PlayStation, though, Max, the one game you always sleep on for PlayStation, MLB The Show 17 got its cover athlete, and it's Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, Ken Griffey Jr.? Did he do drugs?
No, that's why I love him. He's one of the only guys from like the 90s. Or
then who did drugs? The steroids. That was
Barry
really famous.
Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire.
Barry Bonds. That's
Sammy
who I'm thinking. No, that's who I was thinking of. Barry Bonds. All right, I got King Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds.
King
mixed
Griffey
up.
Jr. is the best. He is my favorite player. He's my favorite player of all time, like hands down. And I know that's not original because he's like a lot of people's favorite, but dude, he's awesome. And I am so excited to play that. And I really, I'm gonna try and see if I can set something up with Sony San Diego's community manager to possibly talk to them at PSX. I'd love to try to speak to them for a little bit about the game, because I love it. 16 so good. I go back to 16 constantly. It is so great, and I am so excited for 17, and it's gonna be good. It's coming out March 28th, I think. So that'll be on top of the Switch and Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, gosh, you're gonna be broke in March.
Yeah, and then I'm kind of trying to go to Kinda Funny Live 3. Well.
Which will be in May.
Probably, maybe we'll see. Hopefully, they announce tickets for that sooner, because last year plane tickets were outrageous by that time. Let's get into our final chunk of news here, though.
Of news?
There's no great transition to this one, but we're going to have to cut the topic this week. That's fine. We'll do it next week. It has to do with pre-orders.
I've got it'll work.
So, final bits of news this week. Nintendo news. So, we now know when we will first hear the next news about the Nintendo Switch, which is their new console that they announced about two episodes ago. We're going in episode time. They will have a press event on January 12th. So nothing more about it in 2016, which is really stupid, personally. I think that's really dumb.
I
think it's smart that they've gotten out ahead of it.
I think it's disappointing.
It's smart that they've gotten out ahead of it, but I really think it's dumb. You've revealed it, put the pedal to the metal, and go all out. Now, obviously,
you know
that
what,
doesn't
though?
Mean announce a new game every week or anything
I know,
like
but,
that. But
you know
like,
what, though? As we've kind of been talking about throughout this whole episode, this is the holiday time, and like games are coming out every week. We've got big games. Like in January, after the massacre that is Christmas, Nintendo is going to completely own the spotlight. Nothing like major is coming out in January. The next really big thing is Persona 5 in February.
Shoot. Kind of want to play that too.
Oh, I do want to. I will be playing that.
Early 2017.
Like, I do think there are pros and cons to this. It's disappointing that we have to wait until 2017 to hear anything else about the Switch. It's great to have a date, though, that instead of just living in the nebulous of when are we going to hear,
smart.
Like having a day is definitive is nice. And
it's
then
smart
they
that,
are
yeah.
going to own the spotlight. And this is a press event. This is
That's
not a direct.
That's also very smart because
that is what you
that was
wanted.
That was the first thing you said to me. Oh, this is an actual event. I'm like, well, it should be. Like, they need
to
just have an
to,
event for once. Invite the press there. Be like, yo, what's up? Here's the freaking Switch. Here's the 25 games that are going to launch on it. And be up front and be like, yeah, and now you can play them. Come play the games.
Yeah, it's
going to
be
right.
It's
going to
reveal the price,
thing is
the
great.
Specs, games in development, which
and release date.
So we're getting all of that in theory 2 months before it comes out. you Which assume still, after
so,
that.
It's still so weird, though. That is, that's, I know, the weird, it's that's very the weird.
I'm not defending that. Yeah, I'm not defending that. But it's those 3 months right there, I have to imagine, are going to be very exciting.
And I just don't understand it from the perspective of, like, pre-orders and things like that, which was going to be our topic.
I assume you'd be able to pre-order it that day.
We'll see. Even if you could, I don't know about that day, maybe like the day or two after, because that'd be really hectic if they said, and pre-orders are live now, and everybody sprints to their computer and tries to log on and...
I don't know. Pre-ordering things is so, systems and like anything, yeah, like, is so easy.
Remember with like our headsets and stuff like that, it was like, hey, they're going live at midnight, whatever it was.
Gave you specific times. Yeah,
most people do that. They did that with Fallout as well. They're like, hey, the Fallout Pip-Boy editions will be going live in 3 hours, so get ready. So I mean, they usually give you a heads up. Nintendo should do the same thing. I don't think they should say they're live right now. That also usually causes things to crash, it seems like, when they do that. And the game is live on PSN now. And then you look for the game and it's like buried somewhere and you can't find it because everybody's trying to look for it or something. It causes issues. It's smart that they did tell everybody ahead of time. I still don't understand why they've waited so long. It really is weird. It's weird. I know. And I hope they take advantage of it, and I'm trusting them, and I'm trying to be positive. I'm not going to trash them anymore, whatever. I can't do that. But it's still odd to me. I don't understand why they are going to have a 2-month turnaround on this thing. And again, the thing I bring up a lot too is that this, it's going to be expensive to get this. It's always expensive getting a console. To get the console, to get a game or two, plus if you want the Pro Controller like I do, that's probably $450, if not more. Like, that's not cheap. And so if you aren't telling people ahead of time, and it's like, I mean,
the way I'm going to approach it is I'm going
to
start
8 weeks, and you,
I'm
going to
start saving now. You know, it's going to be, it's going to be between $200 and $400.
You and I are grown adults. We have the foresight to think about that. I'm thinking more about the kids. I'm thinking about the kids here. I'm mainly thinking about the younger people and the people who don't have like stable incomes like you and I do.
The kids are going to ask for it on their birthday.
Yeah.
Just like you and I did. Kind of as a weird Nintendo side note, speaking of pre-ordering systems, just so everyone knows, the NES Classic comes out in 9 days and you can still not pre-order this thing. I guess I'm going to be going to GameStop next Thursday just to pick one.
Are you really getting that?
Oh, I'm excited.
You're buying that ahead of a game, though? Really? That's surprising to me.
The next game I want is, in theory, is Final Fantasy XV.
Well, it's interesting. Which is at the it's just end odd of to me month. That you wouldn't put it towards that, I guess. But
I feel, though, I think I love the idea of this thing and like just
it's
the
like
pure emulator.
It's $80, though, isn't it?
$60.
Oh, it is 60.
30 games.
Still a game.
I don't own 25 of those games. Yeah. And there's plenty on there I should own.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm excited for it. And with my current setup, there's a nice little spot for it. I can put it. I'm excited for this thing.
Doubt I buy one.
You're dead.
That's one thing I can guarantee you, that when it comes out and everybody's talking about it, I won't go Titanfall or Skyrim on that. That I have no interest
I believe
in
you
whatsoever.
There. I believe you there, buddy.
Mainly
because
the ones I already want to own. Mormon Nintendo news, though. We got 7 minutes, and then I got to go. There's an Animal Crossing Direct tomorrow for Animal Crossing New Leaf.
For context, that's November 2nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is before this episode goes live. So the Direct has already happened.
Check their YouTube channel.
The Direct has already happened by the time you're listening to this. It is supposed to be about the updates to New Leaf that are coming.
Hooray.
Which sound very interesting. Which is interesting because it's a 4-year-old game. And Amiibo cards and things like that. They have the Japanese Nintendo account said there will be no news about the mobile game or the Switch, which is fine.
They're going to have to keep saying for the next 2 months now.
I know.
Which is
then on the Japanese Twitter account, they also said that the game Miitopia will be shown. Which has kind of only been talked about in passing, but we don't know what Miitopia is.
Well,
but Miitopia,
we will know in 14 hours or so.
Less than 24 hours.
So Look for that tomorrow. Again, like Max said, if you're listening to
we'll talk about it next week on next week's show.
We'll touch on it. I don't have anything to say about Animal Crossing.
It might be the thing to get me back into New Leaf. For real.
I tried hours into New Leaf, and that was about it. So.
Oh, I spent over 20, I think.
Cool story, bro. Last story of the week.
Another
Nintendo story. Wii U is reportedly, I don't know if this has been confirmed yet.
No official statement from Nintendo yet.
Supposedly, is it this Friday?
This Friday.
The Wii U will end production this Friday. The which final is not Wii U. A surprise whatsoever to me. Not only because they've got the Switch coming out, but you have to imagine there's warehouses full of these things. I ordered my PlayStation Move controllers a few weeks ago, and they were new in the box from when the Move controllers came out, 5-6 years ago? So there is warehouses of these all over the place.
Yeah, it's just for some numbers, the Wii U has sold, now I gotta find an official count. Nintendo has shipped 13.36 million Wii U consoles. And for comparison's sake, the GameCube sold 21 million, N64 sold 32 million, and the Wii sold 101 million. So the Wii U is the worst out of all four of those consoles as far as sales go, for sure. But, you know, it's a part of the life cycle. Like, the system eventually has to end. But, you know, like, the PS2 was in production way after the PS3 was into production. Like, they kept making PS2s. And so Japan is finishing up making VCR players, for Pete's sake. Like, the Wii U has had one of the shortest life cycles of any home console, from beginning of production to end of production. And
it was a total failure in all senses.
Oh, business-wise, yes. Has fantastic games, though. But, you know, the game, it's done. The Wii U is officially getting the axe.
Hallelujah, praise Jesus, get that thing out of here, because it is I don't know what I'm gonna do with it. I've been thinking about that lately.
What?
I'll put it in storage, though, most likely.
Yeah, you don't need it hooked up to your TV.
No, definitely not. So
what games, in theory, if you had people come over to play Nintendo games, what games on your Wii U would you play?
Smash like Bros.
You
that's it.
Exactly. And guess what? It's rumored that Smash is coming to the Switch.
There's no reason to have it anymore.
And I do think that's why we don't have the Bayonetta, the Cloud, or the Korin amiibos yet.
You could be right there. I totally forgot about those, actually.
Those three are the ones that are missing, and I think they launch with the Switch version of Smash Brothers.
Be very smart. V-smart.
And then they also announce that there are new characters in the game, and Shovel Knight's one of them.
Woo-hoo! I would be all aboard for that. Plus,
and ukulele's in there as well.
I was about to say that. See, we're into, it'd be cool if you could fight Banjo and ukulele. Ukulele is out in early 2017. Oh my gosh!
Mm-hmm.
This is insane. If you want to get technical,
Spectre Knight's campaign is also early 2017.
If ukulele, the Switch plus Zelda, plus MLB The Show, plus
and Mass Effect,
all come out within 3 weeks of each other. Get out of the way. I'm going to be very busy with things. That's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. Those are a bunch of games I'm really looking forward to, too. Like, MLB The Show, whatever. That's a personal thing for me. That's comfort food. But everything else, all those others, those are games that I have been... Those are all, collectively in my top five most wanted. So those all come out right then.
I'm excited for you. But you know what? I was just going to say, you should wrap it up. Your Cubs, if you're watching the video, you can see he's wearing his little Cubs jersey jacket, button-up shirt. His Cubs are pitching in a whopping 1 minute, or batting.
There's about eight. They usually first pitch isn't usually till about 8:07, so we're fine. I will start wrapping up because I do have to go watch them. The next time I record, they will have won a championship. I'm going to really hate watching this back when they inevitably lose in 4 hours. Also, the next time we record, I will have talked to Suda51, which is really nuts. I know you're not a fan of his games, or you don't really know what they are, but holy crap, that's really weird. He's made No More Heroes, Shadows of the Damned, Killer7, Killer is Dead, His new game's Let It Die. He's made a bunch of dope games. Really, really like Suda a lot. Couldn't, and it's going to be interesting seeing how that really...
I haven't heard of any of them.
No More Heroes, I feel like you have to have heard of if you owned a Wii early in life cycle. I've sent you a picture of it. It was the dude who owned a lightsaber and tried to become an assassin, if you have any idea what I'm talking about with that.
Nope.
Anyway, great game Suda makes. It's going to be really interesting interviewing a Japanese person through a translator. So we'll see how that works. Assuming I meet him, of course. I don't know if I will. Maybe I'll talk to other various team members. I have no idea what to expect.
You should watch the Omen trailer that I resent you.
I will check that out while I watch the game downstairs. But
you will also send me your audio for this.
I have to do that as well, so I'll take my computer with me. So let's wrap up. Thank you for listening so much this week. We appreciate it. You can find us on Twitter. The show's account is at MGS Podcast. My account, Logan, hey, what's up? I'm at Moreman12. Max is at MaxTheWhite, so follow us there. You can email us at mgspodcast@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or concerns you may have. We will hit you back with our responses either on the show or with an email, something like that. I don't know. We're on YouTube as well, so you'll find us at Millennial Gaming Speak. Please like, share, comment, and subscribe. We would appreciate all that stuff. Helps us reach a larger audience, which is always a good thing. And we are also on iTunes, which is where I think most of you listen to the show. We are on iTunes and SoundCloud. Please be sure to check us out in those places. And if you listen to us on iTunes, please leave a 5-star review. It would really help us, again, reach more listeners. That's it for episode number 66. We never got to our topics this week. I'm running out of breath. Thank you so much for listening. We've got a good topic lined up for next time, whenever that is. Kind
of. I also thought of another topic. I've just got all the topics.
So we've got a bunch of things lined up here for the next few weeks. I don't know if I will be on episode 67. Max and I will figure that out. We will keep you posted. Maybe we record early this weekend, maybe on a Saturday or something. I don't know. I'm kind of busy this
weekend.
But
that would be before Mass Effect news.
That's true. So maybe I just make my triumphant return late next week for episode 67 or the following week for 68. I don't know. Max, do whatever the heck you please. It does not bother me one way or the other.
I have all the control.
He has the control for this week. So thank you so much for listening.
I made a Kingdom Hearts episode.
Yeah, don't do that again, please, God, no.
Oh, buckle up.
That's it for 66. Let's all pray Max doesn't create a Kingdom Hearts episode.
Let's all hop in the gummy ship that is this podcast, fly off to new Disneylands as we speculate Kingdom Hearts 3 and all its details. New screenshots were revealed. When are we going to get new news? Birth by Sleep opening cinematic.
Max,
hot
Cubs
dog.
Play. Hot dogs is such a weird
cool
adjective.
Beans. I don't know. The bee's knees.
All right, we're into this. Max is going back to like 1945 with all of his...
Gnarly, dude.
Describing phrases. That's
tubular.
Like
audacious.
Right. That's off a pickle. All right. We really got to end it now. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.
Go, Cubs, go.